This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat.
The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to the most recent installment of Pop Goes the Movies on the Place to Be Nation Pop Feed. I am Scott Criscolo, and we are going to discuss tonight as we begin the fall season 2019. I guess we're going to kind of timestamp this because you never know when you're going to hear this, but the fall slash winter movie season is upon us, and this was probably the first big one. Of course, this past summer we had Endgame. That was the big summer movie, and of course we have a big movie coming up later in the winter that will probably mark this season. But we've got a bunch of other great movies in between, and tonight we're going to discuss one of them, but I will not do it alone. I am joined by Place to Be Nation's resident scream queen, Jennifer Smith.
I'm only a scream queen during the fall months. Other than that, I'm Queen Bee.
So. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Always a pleasure. Tonight, since it is you and I on this episode of Pop Goes the Movies, that means, of course, we are talking horror because no one else has the guts to. And this one was a doozy. Probably, you and I have talked about this one for quite a while, and probably one of the most widely anticipated sequels in recent memory. We are talking tonight about It Chapter 2. Of course, the first one came out 2 years ago. The first of the – it's not really a reboot. In horror terms, I guess it's adaptation. But this was the first time that It was on the big screen. For those that are fans, you remember back in 1990, there was a TV miniseries of Stephen King's It, which was starring Tim Curry as Pennywise. And you and I had a discussion about this one, and that one was excellent. But of course, it was TV. It was the small screen, so it wasn't as gory and blood-curdling. But psychologically, it was pretty awesome, though, because Tim Curry's pretty awesome. I was never a fan of the cast of the miniseries one, like Richard Thomas. He was John Boy in the Waltons.
Really? I always loved him. In this.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it was a little different. Harry Anderson was – I was not a fan of him. Well, I guess it's hard to say now because comparing who was these characters here, I guess, it's difficult. It's two different eras, so I guess it's hard to – you really can't compare the two. But the first one, of course, came out in 2017, and it was widely anticipated because there hadn't been really a good Stephen King adaptation of anything in a while. And, of course, this year, earlier this year, there was, I guess you could see, a mediocre adaptation of Pet Sematary, which to me, you saw the new one, right?
I did. I actually liked it quite a bit.
Did you?
Was
it better than the other one, than the original?
I kind of thought it was, yeah.
You really think so?
Okay. Yeah, I kind of dug it a lot.
Okay, I'll have to check it out. I did not see the new one. I love the original, and I have it. This was the 30-year anniversary, which I think is the reason they probably did it, but I like the 1989 one myself, but I have to check out the new one. But this was a big deal 2 years ago when It hit the big screen, and I don't remember till rewatching it recently that it actually said Chapter 1 at the end of that one. Do you remember that? I didn't remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't remember that. So I didn't even think they would do a sequel, but of course, technically – we're not doing spoilers because the movie's 2 years old. But Pennywise technically did not die in the end of the second one. He just was left starving for 27 years. Of course, just to quickly recap the first It. It, which is Pennywise, is an evil, malevolent spirit who attacks, who comes to wreak havoc every 27 years. But in the first movie, the Losers Club batted him back. Of course, he did take little Georgie, but he was batted back and held starving for 27 years. And back down the well he went. What'd you think of the first one?
I loved it. Yeah, I was, you know, I have such a huge, like, soft spot for the miniseries, TV movie, whatever you want to call it. So I didn't know what to expect, but once I started seeing the images of old Skarsgård as Pennywise, I thought he was just creepy. And, you know, I loved the little the young cast for the first one. So yeah, I just, that movie was great. I can't say enough good things about it, because I thought it was an excellent adaptation of Stephen King.
I agree. And I actually loved the cast in the first one, of course, led by Mr. Mike himself from Stranger Things, Finn Wolfhard, yes. Whose yes. head did not quite look like a football yet. Like, what is he in Stranger Things? I don't know if it was his hair, but he in season three of Stranger Things, he looks like what's his name on Family Guy?
Stewie.
Yeah, it looks like Stewie's head.
Yeah.
He didn't look as bad.
Definitely his hair. Yes.
Yeah. No, it's definitely his hair. But he was excellent in the first one. As was the rest of the kids. Sophia Lillis, who played Bev, she was awesome. Mm-hmm. And of course, the Losers Club batted him back. They would come back for the second one because they would do a flashback to, I guess it would be 1989, technically they're in 2016.
Yes.
In the second one. So it's not modern day per se, but of course they're doing the math. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's talk about Bill Skarsgård for a minute, because, again, Bill Curry, he was a coach. Tim Curry, he was a coach. Tim Curry's performance, very different, psychological, frightening as all fuck, but obviously very different because it's on TV, so it's not as gory. And at that time, in the early 90s in horror, other than the big three of Freddy, Jason, and Michael, the gore was fairly kept to a minimum, particularly with Stephen King's movies, because technically, and you and I talk about Creepshow all the time, which is one of our favorites. Stephen King's not a horror writer per se. He's a suspense writer, a thriller writer. There are some horror that they've done, of course, Cujo and another great TV adaptation, Salem's Lot, which is one of my favorites. But those aren't gory per se. Maybe Cujo is a little bit. And the original It was not even close to gory per se, but it was downright frightening. And Tim Curry's performance is out of this world. But obviously, Bill Skarsgård got the benefit of the doubt for being on a big screen.
Mm-hmm.
And his makeup is fucking great.
I don't know. It just, and that thing that he can do with his eyes where he can look in two different directions is like,
yeah,
it's so unsettling. Cause I thought that was special effects. I didn't realize that he could actually do that. And so that just like blew my mind. I mean, cause it looks so fucking scary and freaky.
Yeah, no, I agree. And the, like that weird smile, like he was,
yes,
the
guy and the voice.
And the voice, like, it was like, yeah, really that crazy. And that's what made the first one so great. So this one, we're not going to, like, we won't ruin the plot, and we won't go spoilers per se, but we'll get into some of the meat and potatoes. Unlike the first one, where Pennywise is pretty much doing what he's supposed to do, which is come up every 27 years and feed, this one felt more like revenge. He was coming up not just to get his sustenance, but to get back at the Losers Club for screwing him 27 years ago. Of course, the Losers Club is all broken up and split up. It was kind of sad. It was like the summer ended. Like, they didn't even stay in school together. Like, didn't they all just live in the town? And I felt it was odd that they just, at the end of the first one, they all just kind of split up and vanished. Like, didn't they stay in school? I mean, I know that Beverly moved to Portland, but it just felt very, sad. But
I think some of them stayed together longer than others. But then that's the effect of dairy, right? So when they're grown up and things start happening again, they don't remember. They all get a horrible feeling. And all of them react into a certain way when Mike calls them to come back to Derry. But they don't have clear memories. And that's just part of what happens in Derry, which to me, Derry is like my most, outside of Hogwarts, my most favorite, like mythical or not mythical, but fictional location.
Mm.
It's just something about the way Stephen King writes that town. It's amazing to me. I love thinking about Derry and if you follow any of Stephen King's work, his many, many stories are set in that town, and he has a lot of them intersect in many mm-hmm. weird ways. So like with the families of Derry and things like that. So, I loved that aspect of it where something about the whole experience and that town, took their memories away from what happened to them when they were kids.
Exactly. So when they were called together in the beginning of this film by Mike, they're not quite sure why. They remember them.
Mm-hmm.
They remember each other, but they don't remember what the deal was.
Mm-hmm.
And the best thing I liked about the cast is yet a good – I thought there was a great combination of somewhat unknowns and well-knowns. I had forgotten that James McAvoy was actually in this movie. I totally forgot.
Oh, he was like a major draw for me. When I found out he was going to be the grown-up Bill, I was like, oh, shit, that is a great casting.
It is. And he did a tremendous job, of course.
He
Bill
was
the
great.
Main character in the first one. And it was his brother, Georgie, that was killed by Pennywise. And, mm-hmm. and of course, he had the stutter, which he still did.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the most high-profile member of the cast is Bill Hader, who played mm-hmm. grown-up Richie. He's probably the one who most people know. Richie was the one character who had the well-known child actor and the well-known adult actor, because everybody knows Finn Wolfhard, and of course everyone knows Bill Hader, and I thought he was great.
He kind of stole the movie.
Yeah, and you know what's funny about that? I don't think he even meant to.
I don't think he did either.
I think he tried to stay level-headed by being a snarky douche like he was when he was a kid.
Yes.
And but I don't think he meant to do it though. So I like that. He let the rest of the cast kind of do their thing. Did you know, and I didn't realize this till I read it today when I was doing a little background, that obviously Finn Wolfhard is a little older now than he was when he first did the first movie, because the first movie was around the same time, in fact, maybe a little before he did the first season of Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, as we both watch season three of Stranger Things, they're all in their weird, awkward puberty phase now.
Yeah.
So,
bless
your heart. Yeah. So, of course, we all lived it. Mm-hmm. And, but he can't look like that here because he's supposed to be still whatever age he was 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually CGI'd Finn Wolfhard's face.
I read
an article today. They actually CGI'd his face to make him look the same age he was when they did the first movie, which was around the time they did season one of Stranger Things.
Well, what the fuck? Did he grow a beard or some shit in the two? I mean, like, how much different?
That's what I said. It's not like Michael Douglas at the beginning of fucking Ant-Man, you know?
I mean, it's not that long.
Yeah, so I don't, but they, I guess they, I don't know. To the movie's credit, it didn't hit me
mm-mm.
Until I actually watched the movie and went, well, it's all right. It looks a little different, but, whatever. Until I read that, I'm like, fuck. It was okay. Poor guy. Everybody else pretty much looked the same. Isaiah Mustafa played Mike. Jay Ryan played Ben. Of course, Ben was a little chunky kid. And I love that character. I loved Ben because he was a confident – you know, like it's one of the first movies where like the fat kid was like confident. And I dug that about that character. You know, like usually the fat kid's the fucking mushy – backboneless, you know, bully recipient. But the kid had confidence, and I always appreciated that about him in the first movie. Of course, he grows up and he's a brick shithouse.
Yeah, he's hot.
So, yeah.
Super hot.
Yeah. So, and he's, of course, played by Jay Ryan. James Ransone played Eddie. Of course, Eddie. I like the kid who Jack Dylan Grazer, who played Kid Eddie. He was like a little grown up. I really liked him in the first one.
And the casting between the young and the older version, it could have been the same, you know, person. Like, yep. They look so much alike,
yep.
And acted so much alike. I mean, all of the adult versions of the children were like dead on casting wise.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Like they made Bill Hader look like a grizzled old, what Finn Wolfhard would look like if
he
was that old.
You could definitely see that happening.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. The villains that kind of crossed over to the new one, obviously besides Pennywise, Hobo the Leper. The leper in the first one freaked me the fuck out, let me tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
That scene, the scene in the first one where he picks up Eddie's pill.
Yeah.
He's all like, he's got like no nose and his face is all like fucking grizzled and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Freaked me the fuck out, let me tell you. And I was watching it at work and it freaked me the fuck out in the middle of the day. I can imagine, I'm remembering it on a big screen, how fucked up it was. The story itself, I don't want to get into the length because I do have – for the most part, I loved this movie. I did have a couple of cons, one of them being the length, but I'll get to that in a minute. Obviously, some of this second movie was taken from Stephen King's book. Most of the book was for the first movie. Did you enjoy the story? Did the story seem believable? Did it seem like that it was easy to follow and that it worked?
Yeah, see, like, it is one of the few Stephen King books that I haven't read, because, like, a lot of his stuff from that time period could probably do with some editing, and I attempted to pick it up, and it was unrefined, really. I mean, it was kind of hard to get through.
Yeah.
And so I always felt kind of bad, like, not reading that book, but loving the miniseries so much. But parts of this movie, I kept thinking that they must be sticking pretty close to the book, because it felt like, particularly when after the Losers Club, they're trying to decide what they're going to do, right? Because they don't want to fight Pennywise again, but then half of them feel like they have to. And they all each go out into the town and they each have experiences with Pennywise, like scary shit that happens to them. And every scene during that little sequence just felt like Stephen King's, like his scenes out of his books. So I kept thinking, like, I wonder if this is in the book. This feels like a Stephen King book. Every little part that kept going together. So if anybody out there has read the book, tweet me or something and let me know how close the adaptation was to the book. I'm very curious to that. Because, I mean, frankly, it's going to take me quite a while to read that book. It's very lengthy.
Yeah.
And kind of hard to read. But I did like the story. I didn't think it was complicated. I loved the growth of the characters. I loved the flashbacks. Everything story-wise, I thought, clicked along pretty well. Now, towards the end, when you start to get into Pennywise's origin story, that's a little odd. Like, that, I wasn't expecting that twist. And, like you said, I don't really want to spoil it, but it felt a little bit out of step with the rest of the movie, as far as story goes. What do you think?
I enjoyed the flow. My favorite, I've read a lot of Stephen King's books myself. My favorite actual Stephen King book, on a side note, was actually ended up not being as good a movie, and that was Needful Things. Needful Things is one of my favorite novels.
Well, overall. That happens quite a bit with Stephen King.
Yeah.
I loved
the book, and I was not a fan of the movie. But I did love Cujo, and I loved Salem's Lot. I think we needed Pennywise's backstory here. I was a little skeptical that we were going to get kind of like a Friday the a Nightmare on Elm Street reboot situation, like the one that came out in 2010, where we're going to have to find some sympathy. Same thing Rob Zombie did with Michael Myers and his Halloweens.
Yeah.
Bad guys are bad guys, period.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to feel bad for them. And I'm glad we don't. So that worked out in that aspect. The only part of the story I was not a fan of, and I think that's why I think that's what led to the movie being longer than it probably should have been. I understand we needed a backstory of what's been going on in all of these guys' lives since and gal since the first movie or since 1989. But I think that took a long time, and I think they could have done it maybe in maybe two groups, I guess. I don't know. Like Beverly, for instance, became very successful, but she just got stuck in ruts of abusive relationships going back to her dad, and the husband was a fucking scumbag. By the way, did you feel gypped that we didn't get like an end to that about the husband?
I did a little bit, but I feel like she, once she left, that was probably the end. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
She left a ring there, so I think
that's why they did that.
Probably done, yeah.
Yeah, I think they put the ring down as like the, okay, she's never coming back to this fucking scumbag.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, that was kind of like the way for us to show. Okay, that makes sense. The other thing that kind of threw me off, and I don't know if the book was meant to be this way, because they alluded to it, but I don't know if it's true or not. There's the flashback scene where Richie is playing Street Fighter with the kid.
Yes.
And he wants to keep playing, but then of course he's Bauer's cousin, and they kept making fun of him thinking he was gay or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of left in limbo. Like, are we supposed to surmise Richie's gay? Or are we supposed to let it go? I wasn't sure where to go with that.
They just
kind of left them there in limbo. I wasn't sure what to make of it.
Well,
so I kind of went with it.
I feel like towards the end, part of his breakdown about one of the characters' deaths is that he was in love with them. You know what I mean? So
that's entirely possible.
That's what I took from it. We keep dancing around it, but if anybody's going to listen to this, they've probably seen the movie. So, I mean, I don't know how you feel about the spoiler things, but...
Oh, I don't care.
It wouldn't bother me to get into it because, like, I mean, nobody's really going to listen to this pre-going to the movie, right?
That is true. That's the whole point of... That's true. And this isn't exactly Endgame where we need a 4-week or 5-week moratorium,
right?
Or maybe episode 9, which I know down the line here in Pop Goes the Movies, we'll be doing a multi-person one, but we'll probably do a statute of limitations on that.
Exactly.
So, all right. So the doors are open, everyone.
Let's just do that.
If you want to wait, pause it. So according to Mike, who's the only one that stayed in Derry the whole time, based on a Native American that he met, a tribe who showed him a vision of it, meaning Pennywise, arriving to Earth from the stars and informed him of something called the Ritual of Chud, a way of destroying it once and for all. They convinced the guys to get together, and the gal and Beverly, and end this thing once and for all. Meanwhile, speaking of Bowers, of course, the bully from the first one with the mullet who blew his dad's brains out.
Yep.
He stabbed him. Stabbed him in the head. That was fucked up, by the way.
Yeah, it was.
He's in, like, the loony bin. But Pennywise helps him escape because of a balloon under his bed or something like that.
Yeah.
Very strange. So each loser has to get something from their past. And this kind of helps us because if you remember the first movie, obviously they all are very connected.
Mm-hmm.
Beverly goes to her home where the old – and now we figure out the trailer with the old lady that was out for so long. she finds her old love letter that Ben wrote, even though she thought it was Bill. I think the scene that gutted me the most is the one where Bill goes back to the storm drain.
Yeah, that was
look for the boat.
That was next level for me. Like, James McAvoy was on point. And I love how when he comes back to Derry, his stutter returns. And
yep.
And that little kid that that he runs to in the street, I just think that was perfect. You know, everything that he wished that he could have said to his little brother, to Georgie, run away, you know, get away, stay away. You know, he finally gets to say this little kid on his street. And
yep.
I just thought it was awesome.
Yeah, and kudos to James McAvoy for this scene, because he acted as if he was the kid in the first one. Like, he definitely channeled the pathos of younger Bill in that scene big time.
Definitely. So
that was huge. That was huge. I agree with you about next level. That was definitely next level for me too. Ben goes to find his old yearbook page, which Beverly was the only one who signed. And by the way, that scene where they're that was like the fucked up scene where he's hiding in the fucking locker, and you see the New Kids on the Block poster, and I think the best part, and I didn't have an issue with it. I know one thing critics that I've read did not like about the movie, or one of the things, is that the jump scares were too predictable, like you knew they were coming. And I didn't fucking care that I knew they were coming.
I didn't
I still
either.
Wanted them.
Me too. I mean, they were telegraphed every time, but I jumped every time.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed every single jump scare. I thought they were like, they hold on a bit too long. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, okay, somebody's about to jump out. And then they hold that beat just a little bit longer than they should. And then you get the scare.
Yep.
So they're, you know, even though it's so weird to say, but like, they build your anticipation, but yeah, you already know it's going to come. You know, so like, but then what they do is so freaky that it still scares you.
Yep. Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. And the Ben single story, or that sequence where he's in the locker and, you know, you see the camera turn and you see the New Kids on the Block poster and you're like, he's going to fucking stand there. Mm-hmm. Whether it's Pennywise or the fucking zombie or whoever, something's going to be back there. And it was. And we knew it and we didn't care.
Another scene that I would like to call out about Ben is before that, when he is in the classroom and quote unquote Beverly, you know, comes and talks to him, and he's thinking that it's her, and he's so crushing on her, and he thinks that they're going to make out, and then she turns into a monster, and I just thought that was like every young boy's nightmare, right?
Yeah,
like,
I know, right?
A monster and a girl.
Yeah. One who told you off is even worse.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a tremendous. Ben was becoming, I think, like my number two favorite character of the club behind Richie. Just based on the fact that of his confidence for a kid that had no business having any, I guess, you know. In past
How
movie
dare
tropes.
Fat kids have confidence.
I know, right? I know, son of a bitch. He should be hiding in that new kids on the block. But that was badass. Eddie goes to find his inhaler, which we find out is a bunch of crap because apparently his mom kind of got it in his head that he had all these issues. And of course, he tries to save his mom from the zombie or the leper.
I love that sequence, too.
Yeah, where she's tied up in the chair.
Yeah, and he's talking to himself and saying the funniest shit.
Yeah.
Because he knows it's fake, you know?
Yeah.
And he's still scared and he still has to do it.
Yeah. No, it was excellent. Richie finds the arcade, finds the game token. Of course, Stanley, who was their fine little Jewish friend. Mm-hmm. And I say that specifically because that was the whole premise of the first one, where he was at his bar mitzvah and he pretty much told everybody in the synagogue to go fuck themselves,
yeah,
which I thought was goddamn hilarious.
Yeah, well, it was funny.
he can't handle it and he kills himself.
Yep.
In the beginning of the movie, which was that was also a next level gut punch. Because it was so early. It was so early in the movie. You know? Holy shit. No Stanley. What the fuck?
I remember that same reaction from the miniseries. Like, that's one of the... To me, his suicide is one of the, like, most poignant parts of the movie.
No, I agree 100%. And it was tough on this one, too, because it came in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know for a fact that you hate snakes.
I do hate snakes. Yes.
What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on spiders?
I'm cool with spiders. I really am. Like, I mean, I ain't want them around me. You know,
well,
like
no, nobody wants to be friends with them. I mean, you know, but
like, I don't mind killing them. You know, it's not like I shriek and run away. But yeah, I'm good with spiders.
Okay, because there's a lot of them in this one. The one with Stanley's head is fucked up shit. Oh my god, it was frightening.
I loved some of the gross, scary shit they did in this movie, and just I was hoping for to me one of the classic scenes from the original is when they go to Mike's library and it fills up with the red balloons and then like busts blood everywhere. You know? I wanted to see more blood filled balloons.
Me too. I agree. Like the first one, we had a blood filled bathroom. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was great.
And we didn't see that in this one, but well, we did sort of when they came.
And like I read some of the reviews where it was like, it was too like crazy CGI heavy. But for me, I didn't feel that way. I mean, towards the end, I could see an argument made for that. But also, I felt like they did enough things practically that it wasn't offensive to me.
No, it wasn't offensive to me either. Not at all. You know, the days, sadly, of John Carl Buechler and Tom Savini and the Freddy Jason guy. I mean, now CGI is so much easier to do than, you know, rubber heads and fucking tomato soup. You know what I mean? Like, they don't want to bother with that shit anymore. But it didn't faze me in that aspect. I mean, it's, you know, even obviously the big penny spider in the end was was awesome looking.
It was.
There is a rumor, and I read multiple articles about this today, that Bill Skarsgård has alluded to an It Chapter 3 that will be a prequel, because you really can't go much past this, obviously.
Ooh. So, I'm in. Do it.
Absolutely. No fucking doubt about that. Did the end satisfy you?
Yeah, I mean, we lose somebody. We lose oh my God, what's his name? Why am I blanking on his name?
Who died?
Yes, who died? Eddie. Yeah.
Eddie died.
God, why did I just blank on that? Eddie. And that was really sad.
And, very.
And their scene at the end, when Richie breaks down was I got a little teary eyed at that.
Emotional.
And yeah, you know, who cries at horror films? I mean, not like from terror, but, you know, from genuine emotion. But yeah, it was rough, man. I thought it was, the ending was appropriate. And you kind of felt like the threat was so great that you had to lose somebody. It just sucked that it ended up being Eddie. I mean, I could have sacrificed like, Mike, maybe, and not have been as sad. I mean, just being honest.
You're the idiot that stayed in town. You deserve it.
I thought of all of the characters, his was the least developed.
True. And he was the linchpin because he was the only one still in town. That's the funny part.
Yeah. I mean, that, like, he served a purpose, but, like, I didn't connect with him the way I did with the others.
Good point. I agree, too. I almost think he overacted there for a little bit. It was almost too crazy.
It was in points. Yes, I see what you mean.
Yeah, And so I guess Richie did kind of have a thing for Eddie because that was the initials on the bridge.
Yes, that was yeah.
Okay. So I guess it is established what Richie's mm-hmm. feelings were. Okay, mm-hmm. fair enough.
And you know, they always took jabs at each other all the time, you know, and were constantly mocking each other, and so a lot of that was, you know, covering up his true feelings, which is, you know, sad, and you yeah. know. Absolutely. It makes you feel for him.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Shoot, I was just thinking about something else. Oh, one of my other favorite scenes from the original is the bike riding scene. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know what I mean when I say that, but that's
From the one 2 years ago or from the miniseries?
No, from the miniseries. When I say the original, that's what I mean. The
original, you mean the Tim Curry yeah. one. I gotta watch it again. It's a little yeah. hazy to me. I think I know which one you mean.
It's like Bill and Mike, and they get the old bike, and then they just there's music playing over it, and they just
yes, yep.
they just kind of yep. revert back to children, and they yep. you know, riding the bike and goofing around. So I was hoping for a little bit of an homage to that particular scene, and then I got it. And when Bill finds his bike in the shop where Stephen King works,
yep.
And then rides it down his old street, and he gets pumped, right? He starts riding the bike, and I think he starts truly remembering what it was like when he was a kid, and
yep.
Like just a rare little joyful moment
yep.
in the middle there.
Yeah, no, I do remember it now. I gotta watch that again. I think it's on Netflix. I don't know if the original's. It's on some stream. It's either Netflix, Hulu, or Shudder. I don't remember which one, but the original one is somewhere.
I want to say the last time I watched it, I bought it, like I rented it on Amazon. Because it wasn't that long ago. Yeah, so.
Yeah, okay. But I definitely have to watch it again. It's been a long time for that one. So it seems like the door is shut on the story, at least the current story. But I think a prequel is in order. Because they may – remember, Ben, little Ben, little cool – Chubby Ben, mm-hmm. in the first one, made a point to discuss the previous 27-year gap events.
Right.
And there's a good chance that It Chapter 3 might be one of those things. So, interesting.
There you go.
Something to think about. So, we mm-hmm. definitely need to see more of Pennywise.
And you know, we love prequels, right? So
prequels are great. They're fantastic. You always yeah. want to fill gaps.
Yeah.
My only couple of jabs. My only couple of cons. Here's the big one for me. And I've said this to you before when we've had our previous exceptional horror discussions. I've always been of the mindset, and this is just my opinion. Anybody, you know, tweet me or let me know if you disagree. And perfectly fine if you do. I've always been of the mindset that you can tell a good horror movie story in 90 minutes.
Really?
Maybe 145 you could stretch it to. Anything more than that, and I think you're just adding more gore, even if we all love gore. But I think a lot of it just for the sake of adding it. You look at some of the great horror movies of the past, like Dracula and Frankenstein, and they're all like 80 minutes. You look at Halloween was 90 minutes. The First Nightmare, 91 minutes. I was looking these up the other day. Friday, 92 minutes. It Chapter 2 is exactly 169 minutes, which is, I think, and I'm going to look this up. I'm actually going to compare, Jenny, one of your favorite movies, and that's me being sarcastic.
Mm-hmm.
Let me type it in because, let's see. All right, so I said It Chapter 2 was 169 minutes. The movie I'm about to compare now was 152 minutes. That was Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi.
I feel like this was like way better use of my time.
Well, we're not going to get into that discussion. But my point is that movie was ridiculously long, and this movie was 17 minutes longer. I think that they probably could have tightened up the stories in the middle and probably could have saved like 45 minutes, maybe 40 minutes.
I see what you mean. And like you said, it's your opinion. And, you know, I get it. Like, I get people have issues with, like, movie length, but I've just never been one of those people. Like, I honestly, I don't care how long it takes. Unless it's just, you know, like, gratuitous. Like, if I'm into it, I mean, I'll sit there and watch it. And even with Last Jedi, I didn't find it to be, that's not my favorite movie, but my issues with it weren't necessarily about length. I could think of some things I would cut out of that movie, but it's not from a length point of view. It's just a story point of view. But like for this one, I feel like all that time spent in the middle is very important. You know, when they all go off to find their objects and have their experiences. I think that to me is pretty important to the story, because if you didn't spend the time with that, then you're not really getting into the, like, the fears of these kids, because that's what it uses, is all of these people's fears to fuck with them.
Correct.
And so all of that is just like really awesome character development for me. And then you have to have them have a final battle, you know, that feels like earned. So that's why I didn't have a problem with the length of the movie. I mean, it just wasn't an issue for me. But like I said, I get it. I totally get it.
I totally understand your character development part of it, because we're talking about now them as grown-ups, and we need to understand that none of their lives have been perfect in the 27 years since what happened in the first one. So I get that. I just feel like they probably could have done it in groups and maybe would have been able to tighten the stories up just a little.
I can see that.
But I don't disagree with you on the character development. You don't want to jip that. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, these adults, particularly Beverly, because of her traumatic childhood, you know, having the dirty old man as the father, and now he's got now a piece of trash husband.
Mm-hmm.
She's confident to a degree. And we needed to see how confident she really was. But she was always the one that looked Pennywise in the face and said, fuck off, when the rest of them couldn't. So that's the only thing I took away from it, was I probably could have done with short. What I'm talking about too, Jenny, is not cutting anything. What I would have done was told the middle part a little tighter.
Right. But, I get it. Yeah, that makes sense.
But at the same time, I completely agree with you that you don't want to jip anybody's character development. I'm not saying that either. It's not easy. It's not easy. And I'm definitely going to see it again. I always do that with long movies, particularly ones that I watch late. Because this one I went to a 9:30. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So I definitely was surviving as best I could by the end. But I mean, if I'd seen it in a matinee, I probably would have a different opinion. I thought it was tremendous. By the way, Endgame is 181 minutes. So there you go. That one, I had a feeling that one would be longer than
yeah, Last for Jedi, sure.
But Last Jedi was the last movie that I saw like at midnight, and I vow after trying to see Last Jedi at midnight, fuck that shit. I don't care. Yeah, I don't care. Anybody wants to brag how old or young they are. Good luck trying to see. Because I guarantee you, the Rise of Skywalker will clearly be that length, or maybe even longer. So probably. Good luck with that. Other than that, I really don't have any issues. I really didn't. There was nothing. What I liked most about Pennywise in this movie, if you want to talk about comparisons, he was very Freddy Krueger-ish in this one. Because unlike – he was a supernatural being like Freddy was, not like Jason and not like Michael. And instead of the first one where he was just pretty much looking for something to eat, he was fucking with them.
Oh, yeah.
Like Freddy fucks with his – victims. So I was watching this as if it was Freddy Krueger with a clown wig on, and I think that's what hooked me, because it reminded me of that of that holy trilogy, the holy trinity of slasher. And did you get that feeling that you could slide Freddy into the role and this could have been another Nightmare on Elm Street movie? Because I feel like that's exactly how he acted in this.
Well, it's the same sort of like torture, you know, the psychological feeding on their fears and knowing what truly scares them and then fucking them up, you know, in that way. So, you know, very similar. But I also wanted to talk to you a little bit about the humor in the movie.
Yes.
We both agreed that Bill Hader was fucking funny.
Yeah,
but
was.
I was surprised at how much I laughed during this movie.
Me too.
Like, even in some of the scarier parts, it would be like a huge jump scare and then like huge laugh. I mean, and I was there that Friday night, and so I had a big crowd when I was watching it. So they were eating it up too. I mean, everybody was laughing, and I was not expecting the level of humor. And some of the negative reviews I saw mentioned that it was trying to be too ha ha funny in the middle of a horror movie. But for some reason, for me, it just worked. Like, and I could get it if it's not your thing. But like, if you're doing bad humor, I get it. It's not funny. I don't want this in my horror movie. But
right.
To me, it was all like pretty clever and funny shit.
I agree. Yeah. And I didn't think it went too far. I didn't think it went too far at all. I thought it had its moment. Look, Richie's funny. They're mm-hmm. all a bunch of ball busters. Mm-hmm. You can't take that away from the movie. They were like this in the first one, too, when they
yeah.
were kids. So,
exactly. Yes.
Yeah. No, you can't take that away. It's part of the chemical makeup of the movie. You can't strip it. I mean, it wasn't like the middle Friday the 13th, which were like plotless garbage, except for the kills.
Yeah.
I mean, these were characters that you rooted for. And we've talked about that tonight about multiple characters, and this is what we rooted for. And I just enjoyed the writing. I enjoyed like that whole dialogue under the bleachers with the little girl.
Yes.
And Pennywise's whole thing.
That was so good.
That was so good with the fucking eyes. And
what's
great about that scene was you're watching it. You're thinking to yourself, what the fuck is he going to do to her? He's going to eat her face, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to eat her. Fuck. He's going to. And I don't know. It's funny, Jenny, because I'm watching a horror movie and I have like your voice in my head sometimes.
Oh, I'm
so it's
sorry.
Like. So I even say it in like your awesome speak. I'm like, he's gonna eat her fucking face. And I'm like,
fucking face off.
And I'm like, holy shit. So while he's doing this awesome dialogue, I'm like, holy
he's
shit.
Playing he's playing her perfectly, right?
Yeah. And then he's gonna eat her face. Fuck. And sure enough, he did. You know. And when he killed the kid in the funhouse, fuck, he turned him into a.
Oh man!
It was like when the kid got eaten in Jaws, and he just suddenly
yes.
turned into like a fucking tomato juice. I was like, ooh,
so good! Man,
oh
I
my
love
god!
That shit.
Oh, it was like boom.
Right in front of Bill too. Oh my
god! Oh god!
So fucked up.
Yeah, we can't understand. I know we mentioned Bill Hader, and we have mentioned him a couple times, but we can't understate how good James McAvoy was in this movie.
He was so good.
He was great. I mean, we know he's Professor X, and we know he's in Glass, and we know he's in a bunch of stuff. But he was even Dr. Frankenstein in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Not the monster, the doctor. But he was great in this. He really was.
Chastain was pretty great, too.
She was great. She was really good as Beverly. So I'm curious to see. Well, you can't really bring the kids back unless you CGI all their faces. So I don't know I don't know what kind of prequel they'll do, but I'm sure it'll be a completely different cast. If they're going to go back to a previous Pennywise moment
mm-hmm.
in, you know,
maybe a relative, you know, like a distant relative, maybe of one of the kids.
Oh, that's entirely possible.
Mm-hmm. Maybe
that's entirely possible. My favorite scene probably, and one of my – probably my favorite scene in the first one, and there wasn't a scene in the second one that got to this point, is when they're watching the fucking slideshow and the
yes.
slides start changing on their own. And all of a sudden, he's on the – like he
there.
Just shows up on the fucking screen.
Yeah.
And then he just shows up. It's like, shit.
That was
you know?
Really scary.
That was great.
I really like the house sequences too in both of the movies.
Yes.
Like you mentioned before, the head of
Stanley,
thank you. God, why can't I remember their names? The head of Stanley doing that creepy thing.
Oh, my God.
And then you get like a straight up comedy moment when there's the three doors and it was like really scary, not scary at all, kind of scary.
Right.
And Richie and Eddie do their little bit in front of the doors. Pretty great.
Yes.
And
yep.
then Ben and Beverly had that moment where they were, I think that must have been in the tunnel, though, by the time I got. Now I'm starting to get confused on the sequence. But there was a sequence where they got ripped apart and one went one way and one went the other.
Right, yep.
Yeah, yeah. That was pretty cool. All of that little weird, surreal things that, to me, just screams Stephen King.
I agree. Yeah. And I think it's a good twofer. I think it's one of the best, you know, horror right now, other than the Conjuring series, has been mostly one shots, and sequels have not worked as well as they had in the past. But this is a 1-2 punch
mm-hmm.
that I would wholly recommend owning in your library, whether you have it digitally or get the Blu-ray. You can get it. You can get the first one now pretty cheap. You could probably get it for like $10 or $12 if you go to Best Buy or something. But whenever the second one comes out, get it, you know, download it, because they really are. It is incredible writing. Well acted, scary as fuck, and you'll just have a blast.
It's so much fun. Like,
it really is.
I grinned the whole time. Like, I was just having the best time watching this movie.
Yeah, I agree. So was I. I look forward to 2021, I guess, if we have a It Chapter 3, which I have a feeling, based on what I've been reading, that I think we will. And I think it'll obviously be a prequel, because Achille can't go ahead right now.
Right.
So
fingers crossed.
Yes. Got plenty to see. So, all right. Well, that'll do it for this edition of Pop Goes the Movies here on the Pop Feed. Jenny, it's always a pleasure. We
Thank
do this more
so
often.
Much.
And we will have more Pop Goes the Movies as the fall continues. A lot of great movies coming out this fall. So where can everyone find you?
I am on Twitter at JennyCruz2814. And you can find me on all kinds of shows on both the Pop Feed and the Wrestling Feed.
I as well. You can get me, check me on Twitter at Scott Criscolo. And I am on just as many shows on the Pop Feed.
Yep.
On the Pop Feed and the Wrestling Feed. I would say we eat up 2/3 of the bandwidth. And tough fucking shit if nobody likes it.
And Andy gets the rest of it.
And Andy
and Justin gets a little bit of it.
Gets the last 10%.
Yeah.
Anyway, hope you enjoyed this Pop Goes the Movies. There'll be more coming up through the fall. We got Rambo, the last Rambo movie. I think Dr. G and I may do that one. Yeah, he loves Rambo. I think Dr. G and I will probably do that one. The Irishman is coming out. I know I'll be doing that one with Mr. D'Amato. Two Knives. You going to join us for the Two Knives?
Perhaps.
That's a good one. I'm looking forward to that. And then, of course, there'll be a big one coming up in January. We'll do a super one for, of course, episode 9 of The Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do a moratorium. We'll probably wait till after the new year, give the movie like 4 or 5 weeks to breathe, and then we'll do one. So, but after, because honestly, if you're a diehard and you haven't watched, if you haven't seen it within like at least 2 weeks, much less 5, you don't care enough. So that's how I look at it. Go see It Chapter 2. It kicks ass.
Yes, do it.
Do it. For Jenny Smith, I'm Scott Criscolo. This has been Pop Goes the Movies on the Pop Feed. Enjoy.
We all float down here.
Down here.